T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. It's a Thursday morning. Taz of the Moose with you right here, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Mikey B, Pete across the way, Andrew with your updates as we go 6 to 9, 3 hours with you Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose. Also, make sure to check us out. Sirius 206 and XM 206 app as well. All of our affiliates across the country. Taz, what's going on, bro?
Good, Moose. Good to be here on this Thursday with you here. Rock and rolling, jumping. And speaking of jumping, that segues into the sport we're going to talk about right out of the box.
Yes, yes. Nice transition like to the NBA. As Jimmy Butler made his return to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and certainly made his presence felt to his teammates, to the executives, calling out the general manager, calling out everybody for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then had a nice one-on-one interview with Rachel Nichols, where he explained certainly where, you know, his love and his passion for the game.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of people have a little bit of a, I guess, an issue with it, because he was a little wild at practice and kind of ran things, got in people's faces, cursed at people, you know, outplayed guys. I guess it was like a scrimmage at practice or whatever he was doing, and he upped the intensity, Jimmy Butler. Look, he don't want to be there, you know, so it's like, you know, it's like, I mean, they're lucky he was there to practice. And he's, you know, some people, I think, Moose, think it's like, well, is this really what a leader does? Look, I don't think he's trying to be a leader. I don't know about you. I don't think he's trying to be a leader. I think he wants out of there, I think. That's what it is. And
he's made that perfectly clear. I mean, so, he demanded a trade. So, yes, he does want out of Minnesota based on that very fact. And the Minnesota Timberwolves have had certainly a difference of opinion in terms of the head coach and the owner and the general manager of exactly what they want to do with Jimmy Butler. They still have control if he wants to get paid, and they don't decide not to play him, decide not to trade him, I should say. He's got the only place he's going to be able to play is with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he's got no other choice there. I do think money could probably resolve a lot of it if they paid him the kind of contract he's probably looking for. I know emotions certainly have run high and relationships have run high. Taz, yeah, he doesn't really get along. He's had issues with
Wiggins and
Karl Anthony Towns, as we discussed with Brian Geltzeiler a number of weeks ago, mm-hmm, where, you know, Geltz explained certainly and did a nice job of explaining why the three really don't necessarily get along. And in terms of the commitment from Towns, the commitment from Wiggins, as compared to the commitment of Jimmy Butler, who was not a highly decorated high school prospect, not a highly decorated collegiate player, even though he was really good when he was a member of Marquette and developed into a really, really good, you know, all-star caliber player in the NBA by a lot of hard work and a lot of effort, and expects that similar drive from his teammates. And when he doesn't see it and doesn't get it, especially when guys are very, very gifted, very, very talented,
right,
he gets very, very frustrated.
Well, to your point, what you're saying, and you're right, he does get frustrated because he's known for a guy who works hard and plays really hard. He goes hard. He has to. And he'll be the first. He basically says it about these guys, even the guys, you know, the guys on his team, you don't like that. You know, he's like, am I the most talented guy on the team? No. You know, am I the most decorated guy on the team? No. But I play the hardest. And, you know, reportedly he yelled at, what did he say, at Wiggins? He said that, you know, he said, and Wiggins and Towns, they ain't S, figure that one out. They're soft, you know, screaming and yelling, getting to people's faces, yelling at the executives, you can't win without me.
Right, he yelled at it Layden, yeah.
Love that. Should do that here.
Yeah, I mean, you love it, or is it a case of...
I do, it's intensity, it's, you know, it's, I do love it because he's pissed. He's a guy that I like the way he plays a lot. I think he works real hard. I don't look at him as trying to be a leader. That's what I said earlier. Anybody that wants to be a leader doesn't publicly chirp or let things leak that you either want to leave or you want more money. You kind of keep that under, unless you're really disgruntled and pissed at the front office. And he is.
Yeah, well, or he's also disgruntled about, you know, his teammates and their lack of effort and their commitment to winning, of laying it all on the line night in and night out. And, you know, some players were energized by what he did in practice yesterday. And you saw him practice every yesterday why Tom Thibodeau balked at the idea of trading Jimmy Butler, that balked at the idea of and of getting rid of him, regardless of the package coming back, because of the consistent effort that he does bring to the court. And you know, from Minnesota, they're in the unenviable spot because they added a guy that probably would not have signed with the T-Wolves in free agency when they made that trade with the Chicago Bulls and brought him aboard. And they thought he was going to add a leadership quality piece, and he does lead, but the younger players on the team have not responded in kind to his leadership capabilities, and that's the problem you have with Minnesota right now. The problem you have that the Minnesota Timberwolves do have is their best player wants out because their younger players are not as committed
and inspired
as not as committed individually. That comes down to me, it's individual drive. Butler's drive is off the charts. I don't know if I necessarily say that about Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, but more specifically about Wiggins and, you know, his brother and the clown show that they had after Butler announced that he wanted out of Minnesota.
Yeah, and, you know, I was just reading some stuff about what Butler said. He basically says, am I being tough on him? Yeah, that's who I am, Butler said. I'm not the most talented player on the team. Who's the most talented player on our team? Cat. That's Karl Anthony Towns. Who's the most God-gifted player on our team? Wiggs. You know, who plays the hardest? Me. I play hard. I put my body in line, yada, yada. So, yeah, that all is, just, you know, basically what you're saying, and you're right, Moose, and a lot of people know this, that, you know, the guy does go 100%. He's ticked at the front office. He's ticked at his teammates. And even if he does get paid, right, even if that money comes in, everything works out financially, you know, I don't know. I'm sure they can repair this relationship, you know, because the locker room seems like, you know, there's an issue. You got Butler pissed off. You know, and it's like...
Well, Butler makes everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So who wants to be on...
That's what I mean.
Not a lot of guys want to be uncomfortable because he demands great things. I mean, but Michael demanded great things out of his teammates.
Right.
Great players.
And LeBron. LeBron, too.
LeBron demands big things out of his teammates. Now, there are guys that certainly get that message across, and we're not in the locker room on a day-in, day-out basis, but there are guys that can get that message across to younger guys or individual players maybe a lot better than maybe Butler has. I think it's got to be an individual-by-individual kind of instance, especially when you think about true leadership. You can't just continue to be like a bull in a china shop if you're Butler and expect everybody to follow. Not everyone's built that way. So, you know, and Michael understood, you know, he was hard on his teammates, but reached at a point in time where when he entrusted his teammates, it wasn't just about his individual performance. The team got better. And LeBron understood that in Cleveland and when he was on a superiorly gifted Miami Heat team. I think for Butler, I get where he's coming from, but maybe it's a case of, and he wants to get paid by Minnesota, Taz, but maybe it's also a case where it's not just about his effort, telling everybody how great his effort is, telling everybody how hard of a worker he is, how committed he is to winning. Maybe it's a case of that he needs to improve his leadership communication with some of these young players in order to get the best out of those young guys, because not everyone it responds to the same style of communication.
Well, no, I agree, but there are leaders that lead by example and by their performance, and I think he's one of these guys. Number 23 for the Wolves, you know, Jimmy Butler does that. He does lead by example as far as his performance. I get what you're saying. I agree with you. That he is a hard ass on these guys, but you know it's tough to gripe. When you know it's like if you're gonna sing it, you got to bring it, right? As the old expression goes, and he does bring it. So you know if he's getting in your grill saying go harder, let's go harder, and he's putting pressure on himself and on himself, vice versa, back and forth. Me personally, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's how you win.
Well, but not everybody responds to that.
Well, but then I hear you. You're right.
Well, but in order to get the best out of everybody, not everybody.
Well,
you
he's
know,
not a psychiatrist, Moose.
Well,
I mean, he's a basketball player.
Sometimes leadership needs to. Leaders need to be.
But
Bill Parcells used to talk about all that as a head coach of the National Football League. you could be, your communication with one player is going to be distinctly different
definitely.
With another.
I completely agree with
so
that.
So if he's going to be a leader
that.
On a team.
But he's not a coach, though. That's a, Parcells is a
well,
coach.
But he's responding. He's trying to get the best out of his teammates. He's right. made it perfectly clear he's not happy with the effort from Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins.
Right, right.
So if you're not happy with that and you're looking to get your big money contract, maybe the style and fashion which you're going out to try and get the best out of these guys and your communication style, maybe that's not working. Maybe you have to try a different path in order to get the best out of those guys.
Could be, but at the end of the day, is it truly his responsibility, Butler? No, he's responsible for his performance and to be a good teammate. Now, yelling at your teammates is not being a good teammate. Now, if you're yelling at your teammates, if you're a veteran, and he is, to these other guys, if you are a vet and you're yelling at them in practice and getting in their grill and they're getting back in your grill and they're yelling at each other, me personally, I got no problem with that. That should stay behind closed doors. That's all teams do that. You could fight, curse, pull apart, everything. Come game day and come the media, you got to be a cohesive unit. That, or at least put a good show on that you're a cohesive unit. I believe in that. And I think him getting public with this thing here, meaning Butler, I think that's kind of it makes the situation a little sketchy, and it makes him look a little like a bad vet, a bad quasi-leader. Again, I don't think Jimmy Butler's saying, I am a leader, unless there's something he said I missed.
Well, like, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't think you have to. When the T-Wolves brought him aboard, they brought him aboard for his veteran leadership. They brought him aboard for his toughness, for his work ethic, to set a tone for that franchise. He's made it very, very public about that he wants more from Carl Anthony
Towns.
That's
the part I don't like,
Andrew Wiggins.
That he made it public. But I don't agree with that
no,
part.
No, I agree
that
with you.
That part I don't agree with.
And that's all well and good, and we've talked about that aspect in the National Football League when players have made it put it out there for public consumption.
Aaron Rodgers recently, we talked about that, remember?
But behind closed doors, if his style of leadership is not working, maybe he has to adjust his style.
Or find another team, and that's kind of what he was. Maybe, he,
well,
maybe
I mean, isn't that the lazy way out? Though
no, it's not. I don't think that's the lazy way out. No. Hold on, let me finish, because I don't think it's a lazy way out because of this reason. I mean, if you or someone, not just you, if someone's saying that Jimmy Butler needs to change the way he is a leader or change the way he is a veteran player, well, as long as he's performing and he's scoring his points and he's moving the ball around, he's doing his job. Then why, if he has success, why should he have to change?
Well,
if these other guys aren't playing up to speed, they should change. Well, that's how I look at it.
Well, hold on a second. Michael changed in Chicago.
We're talking about Michael Jordan here. It's a little
bit
of a different.
But I understand. But that's leadership.
Michael Jordan was a freak of nature. I mean, again, another guy, freak of nature.
Well, I understand.
Jimmy Butler's good.
We're looking at guys that show leadership traits and qualities.
Moose, I'm talking about the elite there.
I'm talking about hold on a second, Taz. Let me finish. I'm talking about a winning player.
Right,
I'm
right.
talking about a
okay.
winning player, regardless of talent level.
Gotcha.
I'm not telling you Jimmy Butler is LeBron James or Michael Jordan.
Right.
I'm talking about individual leaders on an aspect of a team. And so if those guys were superiorly gifted, talented players that, based on their individual performance, regardless of what their teammates did, could find a way to win basketball games. Butler's not that caliber of player, but if those guys adjusted, and Michael probably more so than LeBron, because Michael was really, really, really hard on his teammates.
Yeah.
If Michael adjusted over the course of his career, why is it too much to ask for Jimmy Butler to adjust?
I don't think it is. I'm just saying I'm not going to speak on any, like Michael Jordan, what he did or didn't do, or what Jimmy Butler should or shouldn't do. I believe players, no matter what sport it is, male or female, they, especially, you know, top players on said team, they should stay in their zone, stay in their lane, be a leader. They don't have to be a psychiatrist. They don't have to be a coach. Okay, they're an extension of a coach. A captain is an extension of a coach. As long as you are leading by example, meaning you're training, you're doing your job, you're performing. You know, if you're accountable, if you get beat, guy scores and you say, all right, you got me, no problem. Hey, that guy got me. We can't let that happen. If you're accountable and all that, those to me are leadership qualities. I've been in that position as an athlete. I've been a captain. I understand what it's like, not at an elite level like the NBA. And I get what that, I believe in that. I believe in you can't expect someone, a player, even though he's a leader and he's a captain or he's the man or whatever. Now, okay, maybe someone like a LeBron, maybe someone like a Michael Jordan, because those guys, like I was saying earlier, they're the elite of the elite of the elite. They kind of just go out there and just succeed. You know, that's how freaks of nature they were. I just think of Jimmy Butler. Look, let me ask you this.
I think leadership is more than just individual aspects. If you're looking at just based on all a guy can do is be worried about his individual performance on the basketball court.
No, that's not what I'm saying, though.
Then what do you,
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't think that a leader or the best player on a team, on a team, should have to be a chameleon and change and deal with each player different and do all that stuff. I that's a coach's job. That's what coaches get paid for. Players play. No matter if you're a leader, no matter if you're a starter or you're riding pine. I'm not saying that you should be a selfish. I'm not saying leaders should be selfish. Leaders are not selfish. Leaders are the opposite. So I'm not, if I'm coming off that way, I'm coming off the wrong way. That's not what I mean. What I'm saying is that I don't think you could expect a guy like Jimmy Butler to change the way he leads. He's a tough guy. He's a tough player. He's a guy that wasn't entitled. He's a guy who earned and paid his dues and came up and was not the apple of everybody's eye coming out of college. You know, Adam Marquette and all that jazz. So, you know, he might have a chip on his shoulder. Hence why he plays like he plays. My thing is this, Moose. If, let's say, Jimmy Butler, as of recent, didn't make it public that he wanted out of Minnesota and all this jazz and all this scuttlebutt that we've been talking about, everybody's been talking about with Butler. And he went into practice yesterday, and he went 150 miles an hour like he did, and he got in guys' faces, and he got aggressive, and he yelled at maybe the executive thing. That would have, you know, saying that you guys can't win without me. That's probably a bad line. That's going to get out. But I'm just saying, if all that other stuff about him wasn't public that he wanted out of there, and he just went 150 miles an hour in practice and got on players, do you think anybody would even talk about it? It wouldn't be a story.
I don't know about that. I think it might not be as big of a national story. It'd probably be a story in Minnesota if he was knocking his teammates, which he did.
Well, in Moose, I'm telling you right now, I bet you dollars to donuts in practices while that door closes across the NBA.
I'm sure guys go at it hard.
Guys are yelling at each other. I mean,
I'm
like
sure
bad.
They do.
Like, you know, it happens.
I'm sure they do. But see, that's where I look at it a little bit. You know, if I view my best player on the court as being a outreach of the head coach that is on the bench, which he is from my vantage point, anyway.
Right. I was saying it's an extension of the coaching staff.
If you look at Butler on the court, if it's not working in order to get the best out of individual players, the way that you are behaving in terms of your communication with said player, then I do think whether it be an executive, whether it be a coach, or whether it be the best player on the court, needs to change that communication style. Mm. I think that comes part and parcel with being a leader. Mm. I think you can go individually and do your job. Well, I think individually you can play hard, but not everybody responds in the same style and fashion to the way that you communicate with somebody. You can't communicate. If you're looking to get the best out of everybody, whether it be a team, a company, corporation, it does not matter. One style of communication does not work for everybody.
I know that, and I agree with that. Except,
but with Butler, you don't.
Well, with players that are right, I don't. With Butler, I don't, because and not just Butler, other players too. I think that players lead the way they're going to lead. If maybe he's a bad leader now, I'll agree with you. Maybe he's a bad leader.
Well, do you think the LeBron communicated with Kevin Love the same way he communicated with J.R. Smith, or J.R. Smith
no.
the same way that he communicated with Tristan Thompson?
Probably different. But like I said, Moose, I have a different guys. Like I said, those type of massive elite guys like LeBron James. I we can agree to disagree on this. I think that they're going to be able to change their leadership. Those are special, special, special players. Those are special people, special athletes. Butler is a hard-nosed guy. He plays hard. I don't think that I don't think he's wired that way, that he's going to change the way he's a leader.
I don't know if he is, or maybe
he
is.
And that makes him maybe a bad leader, to your point. That might make him, I might agree with that.
Or maybe someone hasn't gone through to him where he needs to do that. Maybe it's a case of that now with the money that he is looking for, the contract that he's looking for, if he wants to be the face or the leader of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the best, the face of the franchise and be the guy on the court that everybody leans on, maybe it's a case of someone needs to get through to Jimmy Butler that he needs to adapt and adjust his style. I'm not looking at, there are guys that have been great leaders that adapted their style on the NBA court that were not the best players on the team.
Mm. No,
Doc Rivers was a great leader.
I agree.
Doc Rivers was a really good basketball player, but a lot of the times on the teams he was on was not the best player on the court. Even he was a great leader when he came to the Knicks at the tail end of his career, but was not necessarily the best player on the court. You look at I don't know. I look at Butler and I understand his frustration level. I do. But, you know, how many times do you have to bang your head up against the wall if you're going to stay in Minnesota? And right now it looks like he's going to be a T-Wolf, Taz, and expect things to change based on his frustration level, his effort. If things aren't necessarily changing the style and fashion in which you're doing it, doesn't that mean that maybe you need to change and adjust the way that you're doing it?
No. I think, especially if he's performing, I think what that means is that there needs to be a different level of expectation on Jimmy Butler from the organization and from the coaching staff and from the media and from the fan base. Let him be a player. Let him be, if he's going to yell at guys, they're going to yell back. That's fine. I think he is okay. Who he is. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
if he's yelling at Layden at practice, you can't win without me.
Well, but that's a little different.
No, but I'm not talking about just the statement he said to the GM.
The GM, I mean.
But if his style of play does not lead to Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins playing their best, isn't in essence you can win without him because those players are more talented than Jimmy Butler?
Yes, you can win without him as long as Kat and Wiggs play inspired. That's
and
the
maybe
only
they'll
thing.
Be inspired with another teammate on the court on the fact that Jimmy Butler is more of a hindrance to their growth than helping their growth. And that's the overarching point, because from my vantage point, I look at Butler as a great player. I don't know if he's a great leader. If he wants to be a great leader, from my perspective, I think he needs to adjust his style. But it's a great talking point. I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What's your take on Jimmy Butler basically taking out a blowtorch at practice yesterday for the Minnesota Timberwolves, whether it be the GM, the coach, teammates, the one-on-one interview that he did with Rachel Nichols in the billiard room, wherever they might have been. I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. I don't know if that'd be top 10 on my list, but it would be nice.
And probably, a humidor.
Yeah, there you go. That would be top 10 on your list. That would be number one. Yes. 855-212-4227. Your number to call. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, the injury report brought to you by the Salt Institute. Let's take a look at the latest injuries. How about 11 Colt players missed practice on Wednesday? Among the DNPs were receiver T.Y. Hilton, chest and hamstring, tight end Jack Doyle dealing with a hip injury, Eric Ebron, shin, quad, ankle, and knee. So four for the former North Carolina Tar Heel star. Aside from water, salt is one of the most common food ingredients we consume, and that's no accident. Sodium is required to make every cell in your body function. Everything is better with a little salt. Find out why at alittlesalt.org. So we got it going here on this Thursday morning, discussing Jimmy Butler and his antics at practice yesterday for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Today is also a special day because it's Taz's birthday today.
Oh!
Happy birthday, Taz.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
To you.
Shut up.
Happy birthday to you.
I love bearded men.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Well,
51 years young.
Happy for sharing birthday. That with the audience. I'm not a birthday guy, but thank you, everyone here, and the Moose. I'm not really a big fan of birthdays.
Why is that?
I believe once you are getting past the age of around 11 or 12, it should end. You should not be any more celebrations.
Your son's parties must have been wonderful growing up.
They were not a hoot. A poor kid. But I don't.
But it's my birthday.
I don't feel.
Nobody cares. Toughen up.
Nobody cares.
It doesn't matter.
You're 13.
It's all
we did
downhill.
That for 11 years.
Go train your quads.
So, I just feel like adults get a little bit stupid with the birthday thing, and it gets a little annoying.
Speaking of which,
what's going on here?
Special guest.
Oh, who's that?
Nobody.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
The Invisible Man. Yeah, so I prefer it like that, AB. I don't want anyone here to celebrate my birthday. I would like to wish my mom a happy birthday because her and I share a birthday.
Oh,
I was born on her birthday. Yeah, so yes, I would like to wish my mom a birthday. She's probably training right now, but so anyway, yeah. So I don't really, I don't really, that's the thing, Moose. I don't, right now, you know, your kid's little, AB, your kid's little, you guys should enjoy those birthdays with those kids, but once they hit around 13, 14, end it.
Okay? Yeah, that will not happen.
Unless you have a daughter, someone has a daughter, like sweet 16 type thing, then that's different. I think girls, when that's great, but after that, it's over. Let's be honest.
Bar mitzvah 13?
No. So when people, like all these tweets I'm getting for people like crazy, happy birthday, ba ba ba, thank you, thank you. All right. Used to have people call my other
show. Next year, Circle of the Day, we won't even mention it.
You don't have to. I wish you wouldn't have. I mean,
happy birthday.
I'm shocked you
guys
knew.
Play it again. Well, it was on the rundown. That's the only way I knew.
Why is it on the rundown?
That's how we knew.
You really inspected that rundown this morning, didn't you, Tess? It's the second one down.
I guess.
See the question marks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I do. I'm not an ego guy, so if I see my name, I blow right by it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, you're not an ego guy.
It is an interesting dynamic, though, Moose, because We Over Nation is so plugged in, obviously, to Taz, and they want to be respectful and kind to their guy, yet people in We Over Nation wishing you a happy birthday, and I'm sure they know that you're not a birthday guy. So, like, what's the right play?
They apologize.
Okay.
I'm sorry that's the truth. Okay. And they do. And it's like, I know you're not a birthday guy, that type of a thing. Like,
fascinating for a relationship.
If I could read one right here, Moose, not to upset you. Eric Witzel.
Upset me?
Well, just I don't want to upset. Because this is, well, actually, he tags Taz and Moose, so this won't upset you. Eric Witzel at Chef Wee. It's a joke. Play along. It's my birthday. Cut me a break.
Well, you said you don't like birthdays.
At Chef Wheezy 215.
Another chef.
Taz, I know you're not big on birthdays, but I could not wish the great one not a birthday. Eric, you need to learn how to type, sir. Thank you for all the years.
Hashtag we over. Hashtag school.
We over with school.
Hashtag education.
School.
Hashtag we school. Over learning.
That was hashtag riff. Nation. Reading is fundamental.
Hashtag vocabulary. Eric, come on, buddy. He says, thank you for all the years of great memories and shows you've given us with the Taz Show Live and with Taz and the Moose. I am a proud Taz guy and a fan of yours no matter what. Now, what does that mean when he says that at the end? Why does Eric say no matter what? Like, isn't that kind of like a little left-handed compliment? Like, no matter what everybody else thinks of you, that you might suck, I like you. That's how I look at that.
Maybe, or he disagrees with you.
He's just saying no matter what. Like, why is Eric saying that?
He's always there. He's a friend for life.
So, see, that's the narrative on the tweets. I know you're not a big on birthdays, that type of thing. I did see a tweet yesterday, not about birthdays or me, tagged you, Moose, and you, AB, of this guy, basically. I don't know if he complimented or buried me. It was a very interesting tweet. And I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. AB, you saw it, right? He said something like,
I was hoping you didn't see it, yeah.
Is it your friend of you, AB?
No, don't even, this stranger.
Yeah, it was interesting. He's a fan of the show, which is nice. And I'm trying to find a tweet.
Half the show.
Yeah. Well, no, but I if he hates me, I'm fine with that. I just couldn't tell if he hated me or he liked me because then he replied back to me. He was very kind. He was very nice. He seemed like a gentleman. So I was just like, oh, maybe Moose, you saw it. We could play along,
no,
but you have no idea what I'm talking about.
It was on Twitter. Why would have Moose seen it?
I did not see it.
ABC with his upgrades.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. We'll get back to
Moose
it.
Moose sees some stuff on Twitter, though. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, I didn't. Yesterday I was not on social media. I was busy with the boys.
Right.
AB, take it away, brother.
Guys, once the Jimmy Butler dust settled in Minnesota yesterday, we played preseason basketball. Lonzo Ball, LeBron James, finally on the court together in Laker uniforms. LeVar's kid had fun.
When you play with LeBron, you gotta make sure you keep playing because he's easy to watch. You know, much stuff as he does. He had a monster first half. You know, he's best player in the world. That's what he does. But we gotta keep focusing, keep doing our job.
Ball coming back from July knee surgery, 23 minutes off the bench, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 steals, and 2 assists. LeBron had 15 points, 10 boards, and 5 helpers as the Lakers outscored the Warriors in Vegas 123-113. Kevin Durant fouled out in the third quarter. Kyle Lowry.
I just showed Moose the tweet from the guy.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, actually.
It is funny.
AJ Safi. Continue.
Kyle Lowry ejected for arguing a couple of foul calls. His Raptors beat the Nets in Montreal 118-91. Kawhi Leonard played for Toronto for the first time, 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. The basketball world is mourning the loss of Tex Winter, the longtime NBA assistant, former college head coach, created the triangle offense that led the Bulls and Lakers to win 9 NBA titles. Winter was 96 years old. It is week 6 in the NFL. It's the Giants and Eagles in Jersey on Thursday Night Football. They're representing the vaunted NFC East, which doesn't have a winning team at the moment. Washington's in first at 2-2. Kickoff at the Meadowlands is 6:20 Mountain Time. America's head coach, Sean McDermott of the Bills, could have but didn't dispel reports yesterday. Those Eagles have talked to his team about running back LeSean McCoy. Philly needs help after losing Jay Ajayi to a torn ACL. And Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin reportedly fined $25,000 for criticizing the officials after Sunday's win over Atlanta. One more day without baseball. The NLCS begins tomorrow night with the Brewers and Dodgers in Milwaukee. Then the ALCS on Saturday with the Red Sox and Astros at Fenway. Sale, Verlander, Price, Cole, your first two pitching matchups in that series. Former Clemson QB Kelly Bryant reportedly visiting North Carolina this weekend. The transfer has 1 year of eligibility left. And finally, to the ice in Washington.
Here comes Kuznetsov in what is now 5-a-side. Kuznetsov with room, looking, and now the pass across, they score! Ovechkin from Kuznetsov makes it 4-2 Washington!
John Walton, Caps Radio. 2 goals for Alex Ovechkin, 1 and 3 assists for Evgeny Kuznetsov in a 5-2 decision over the Golden Knights in a Stanley Cup final rematch. Vegas started last year 8-2. They're now 1-3 this year. Guys, good morning.
All right,
thank
good morning.
You. Thank you. Good morning.
So,
for happy
read
birthday.
The tweet, Tess. What's the tweet?
Oh, you put me on the spot. I got to read the tweet now.
I thought you had it pulled up.
But now I moved on. This was so yesterday. I'll find it again. It was
2.5 minutes.
Wait, this.
Hey, that's my breaking
so
news
what's
sounder.
The Twitter?
That's not social media. Moose, stop AB. I don't
Taz,
like what he just
what's
said.
The tweet?
I don't like what AB just said. He's trying to steal our bit.
I pulled a Taz. I wasn't listening. What were you?
I'm trying to find it. Hold on. All right, wait, hold on. It says.
Hit it again, Pete.
No, you might have to. There
hit
it is.
Again.
All right, oh, perfect. AJ Safara. He said, at AB and Ma and Malusis. I have so much respect for you, meaning you two guys, for being able to put up with Taz for this long. After months of listening, I still can't tell if it's a skit or real. While he's somewhat endearing, the fragile masculinity is out of control.
Mm.
You guys are saints, meaning you and AB. What about Mike? Mike's the biggest saint.
Yeah, he probably didn't know Mike's Twitter handle, or he would have put it out there, too.
Drew Brees over here.
Yeah, so I don't know if that... So I replied to him something witty, and then he replied with something funny. So it's all love, Twitter love. But I don't know if he was being complimentary or not. I don't think that was complimentary.
Well, endearing is nice, somewhat endearing.
Somewhat. That's another
left hand. Fragile masculinity. That's what Jim
endearing.
Ross had to say.
That's true.
So,
about that.
JR?
Damn, JR.
Please, he nailed it.
He got yeah, no, he
says,
usually
yeah,
does.
Physically strong, mentally weak. 855-212-4CBS. That's a quote. That's no paraphrase right
thanks,
there.
Thanks, Moose, for bringing it up.
I might have that tatted on my arm
You're
later on today.
You are the best.
That's it.
Yes. Tatted on my forearm.
I know, I would
come
say.
Come and get it on your forearm.
Listen, it is what it is on social media. He's reacting, he's interacting.
Fine.
It's
hey,
all
listen,
good.
We thank
Happy birthday, Taz.
Thank
51
you.
Years young
thank
today.
You, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thanks
we know you enjoy birthdays. And enjoy today is your day. 51 years old.
Happy I hope you make the 51.
Birthday.
I hope you make the 51.
Yeah, hopefully, God willing, I will.
I really do.
That's a strange statement to make.
Because you keep making me feel old. People think I'm 30.
So you wish
they
death
think
upon
I'm 30.
Me?
I didn't wish death. I'm
wait,
wishing shit, health.
Wait a second.
No,
someone who
I'm
says
wishing health.
Wait, no, that's not true.
Wishing
51's
health.
Not old.
I said I hope you make it to 51.
That's a nasty statement.
I said I hope you make it to 55521.
If we did a poll, that would be a nasty statement. I think Pete and Basenga are like, what the hell is that?
Mike, that a nasty statement? Statement.
Yes.
Be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yes. It's a nasty statement.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I apologize. Those
no,
are the judgment.
You don't realize the
no,
power.
No, I'm sorry. Saying I hope you make it.
Even explain it. It's a nasty statement. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4. I'm over your birthday. Listen, it's over.
Thanks, Moose.
You got it. That's for
I'd
your family
you
and friends.
I knew I'd get you there.
No. I love birthdays. I just don't like yours.
I hate them.
That's all.
Including mine. How about that?
We'll come back. Day. Chris Bryant, contract game with the Cubs. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Panhandle of Florida, obviously, with Hurricane Michael yesterday, devastated. And you can help people affected by Hurricane Michael. Text Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, to 90999, to donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. And if you could do that, certainly... everyone down in the Panhandle areas were devastated. A Category 4, 165 mile an hour sustained winds. Just terrible, terrible. The video and the pictures coming down from that area of our country. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. It is a birthday edition of Taz and the Moose. Taz's 51st birthday today, so happy birthday to Taz. And we transition away from that topic over to the Chicago Cubs and Chris Bryant, as Bryant and reports coming out of Chi-Town as their season came to an end, and we know Joe Maddon will be back as Cubs manager, and they'll make an adjustment this offseason to try and get themselves back to the World Series, something they won a couple years ago. But one of their big star players, the 2016 NL MVP, was their stud third baseman, a guy who plays outfield on occasion for Joe Maddon as well, and that is Chris Bryant, as he and his agent, Scott Boras. Now, you got to remember, you know, the Cubs and Bryant, when, and he was a, you know, highly touted prospect, high pick, when he had a tremendous spring training a couple years ago. The Cubs did not call him up initially, so because they did not want to start his major league clock, which caused a problem for Boras and Bryant at the time. And then he quickly got called up at the start of that MLB regular season. So there's been issues between him and management. Now everything's kind of been A-OK since then, but right. Bryant and the Cubs and Boras and the Cubs have had conversations about a contract extension, Taz, and reports are that he turned down upwards of a $200 million contract extension.
That's, I mean, you're right, north of $200 mil. How does that happen? Like, and the thing, this is, I mean, there's no fact behind this yet, but it seems like, you know, with the old cliche, where there's smoke, there's fire, like, this is probably true. It's anywhere near a number of $200 million, you know, above $200 million. How do you turn that down? That's insane.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a second. The Cubs have control of him until 2021, right? So they have control of him for three more years before, and that's when, you know, he has to go through arbitration, everything like that. Right. But they've got control of him before he hits free agency. In three years,
he could make more.
Isn't that contract going to be $300 million, $350 million? With salaries in Major League Baseball going up.
Yeah, you're right.
We're looking at two players. I mean, arguably speaking, you could look at Bryce Harper. If he takes a 10-year contract, they're looking at upwards of $400 million.
Yeah, nuts. And
you look at Manny Machado is going to be looking at a deal that gets him between $300 and $400 million.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's a risk, right? And it's a calculated risk.
Well, my point being is that
he could make more money.
Well, he could make more money if he waits. Yeah. Now, the risk is, to play to your point, Taz, the risk is staying healthy. The risk is remaining productive. Exactly. The risk is not suffering a devastated knee injury or a shoulder injury or a back injury to then he no longer has the value. Now it's guaranteeing you money. But is it worth the risk to say, all right, I understand it. I'm in my 20s. I'm a lead level player. I've got no physical ailments now. I go through three more years. I'm going to make a lot more than what the Cubs are offering me right now.
Yeah, me personally, I mean, and you laid it out great right there, dude. You did. And I, you know, because of he could potentially make more money, Chris Bryant. I get it. I got to tell you, I would. I take that guarantee thing now for the most part, and I don't know. I just wouldn't, because you never know. You get cold. You know. You get hurt. You pop a knee. You injure your shoulder. These baseball players, they play so many games, as we know. These major leaguers, you know, it's a long grind that season, as everybody knows. This guy's a high end player, so you know anything can happen.
You could make the argument he's 26 years of age. He's going to turn 27 on January 4th.
Yeah.
Of next year, so that's right around the corner. That when he hits free agency, he'll be 29 going on 30.
Right.
And is anybody at that stage going to offer him a 10-year contract? I don't know. I mean, he's a really good athlete.
Yes.
If he keeps himself in impeccable shape, is somebody going to sign him for a 10-year deal where they have him locked up till 40 years of age? Guys are playing longer, well into their late 30s. They're playing well. Guys take care of their bodies now better than they ever have.
Absolutely.
Maybe, he going to get a 10-year contract? Does that 10-year contract then become all of a sudden eight years? And instead of, then you knock maybe $60 million off of that tab at the end of it. I don't know. It's a great question. It's a great thing to ponder. But if you're Boris and you're Brian, don't you want, in essence, what he is potentially going to be worth 3 years from now, not what he's worth now?
Yeah, I would think, but we were talking about staying healthy, and if you remember this past summer, I think it was somewhere around probably July, mid-July, late July, he had no structural damage to his shoulder, but he had a shoulder injury.
He did.
And he was on DL for a little bit, and he had MRI done. And then, so that little bit of a, you know, not a scare, but, you know, a little bit of an eye-opener for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so you would
only played 102 games this year.
There you go. So you would think right there, sign me up for the 200 mil.
Yeah, you know, I get it. But do athletes think about that? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think they do.
I don't think they're thinking about injuries.
They just grind. They don't.
I think maybe if we're talking about an NFL player, Who are fighting for guaranteed money.
More chances.
I think they're thinking about what could potentially happen on the football field because it's an extremely violent sport.
Right.
I don't know if a baseball player, I think a pitcher probably is.
Absolutely.
I think
shoulder, bicep tendon, tricep tendon, all that.
Shoulder, elbow, torn UCL.
Sure. Happens all the time.
How the velocity is up, that they're maybe thinking about that. I don't think an everyday player is thinking about potentially getting hurt or suffering that kind of a devastating injury. It's a calculated risk by Chris Bryant and by Scott Boras, but you know this, Taz. Boris is going to try and get every single dime that he can out of the Chicago Cubs. He doesn't want to leave any money on the table.
No.
He doesn't want to do – the Cubs are trying to do what the Cleveland Indians did a number of years ago when – and this is going way back, but when they signed Jim Tomey, when they signed Kenny Lofton, when they signed at the stage, when they signed a lot of their young players to contract extensions that gave them more money up front but were contracts – that were made sense for the organization. So they rewarded the players. They gave them more money. However, they did not pay market rate, but they gave them a security. And a lot of those young guys signed those deals. And a lot of people applauded the Indians for doing that. So the Cubs are trying to do what the Indians did in today's marketplace. And Chris Bryant and Scott Boras said, you know, not so fast to steal a line from Lee Corso, and say that they're not interested in $200 million. It's difficult for you and I sitting there. Someone puts $200 million on the table and say, we're going to guarantee you this. I mean, I think us and 99.4% of our audience would probably say, yeah, we're A-OK
you might
with
be
that.
Right.
We're A-OK
right.
with that. But for Chris Bryant and Boras, they're not.
I don't know. You're right about that. I do think that it might have been a little, just my opinion, to reject that kind of a massive, huge, vast contract extension. I think it's a little bit of a head scratcher for me. I get why you laid it out perfectly with arbitration and stuff.
Yeah.
Where you could make more money. I get it.
He signs that deal. He doesn't have to worry about money. Generations of Bryans don't have to worry about money the rest of their lives.
No. His kids and his kids' kids.
Think about
that. I mean, assuming the guy's smart with his money,
As long as he's right. Invested well, takes care of himself, has the right financial advisor. He doesn't have to worry about money the rest of his life.
And Bryant can do
whatever the hell he wants
to do.
He does.
Free agency, you said, 2022?
2021.
Right? Yeah, 2021. My bad. Sorry. So, we'll see. I mean, he could end up in the $400 million. Club, to your point.
Well, he could.
Could you imagine that, dude?
But
he's good. I don't know if he's that good. I got to be honest.
He's a really good player.
400 mil, bro.
But isn't it all?
I mean,
all relative? Is anybody worth $400 million?
by the time you pay Uncle Sam, you're getting about 200 grand.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, I agree.
That's
I
all another story.
But it's interesting to see, and that'll be a fascinating storyline to follow in Chicago. It. Yep. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.